That last song, The Power and the Blood, it reminds me, in the other songs you guys sang today and worship the Lord with, speaking His name. You ever get the point that you try to do all kinds of stuff in your life? You try to change things. You try to, you want a different routine. And we go outside and we try everything we think of. I mean, wait, I don't try Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I want my life to be different. I need to speak Jesus in my life, you know. I want my life to be different. I need to follow Jesus, you know. He has it all planned out for me. And why is that? For men, especially, why are we so stubborn? Why we won't listen to other men? You know, we'll listen to them about baseball games and stuff, but we open that Bible up and we see men, man of God, strong and conquering the world in the name of Jesus, but also not being perfect, right? Yeah, amen. You know, nowadays I wonder if we sat down and wrote the Bible, would we put our mistakes in there? Would we write down like Peter did when he denied Jesus, or would we mark stuff down? David, I mean, he penned about all his failures in order to encourage us. Or would we leave that part off and how great we was? You know, most of us say who's in here retired. You know, we look back where we used to work at, and the longer we've been retired, the greater we was, weren't we? You know, Jim, how can they change them tires without you anymore? You know what I'm saying? It's just amazing. But putting Jesus first in our life, and putting Jesus as He is, not taking Jesus and making Him into a dude that we want Him to be, you know. My wife has been trying for 46 years to mold me into the husband she wants. Amen? And maybe another 50 or 60 years, maybe she might get it there. Okay?
Oh,
but she got to realize what she has, you know. Yeah, amen. And what's that? Run out of clay. She bring in by the truckload. I'm telling you, but Billy Albert's show went up tomorrow. His company is and bring more clay. But for ourselves, number one, not probably anybody here is completely satisfied with yourself. Okay? Most of them say, thank God I'm not where I used to be at. That I'm different, you know. But God still work on me, still change me. And how did that take place? By allowing His Word to direct me. Okay? Anybody making this decision this past week that really didn't align with the Word of God? And you wish you hadn't done it? We probably all may have done that, okay? That's awesome, because one thing is, you recognize it. And this week coming up, you might have the same opportunity to do the same dumb thing. You know? But recognizing, what's that? But there you go. That word, when you got convicted of what you did, you should have never done, that's the Spirit of God inside of you saying, hey, listen, stupid. Or I'm not calling you stupid, but, you know, I'll call myself stupid. And Martin calls Chuck stupid, but that's all we're going for there. But that means tomorrow, or the next day, when that same event comes around to make the same judgment call, chances are you might not make the same mistake. You won't do the same thing because it's in your spirit. You recognize that, okay? Now, during next week, it might be something else you might do that's going to be stupid, okay, that you shouldn't have done. But God will work with you on that. Amen? That's what His Word does. He changes us. And as we follow Him, we're going to get into different scenarios, different things we're going to enter to, something we're not familiar with. And we might make a decision based upon our flesh and blood and not our spirit that God's given us. And as we go through these times, we realize, wait, I ought to yield myself to the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, that small, still voice that should be inside of us. Sometimes it's screaming at us, we can't hear it. Why? Because we're stubborn. You know, we're listening our own way, you know. If you ever, if something I want to do, or, you know, we get along, I mean, 46 years, 45, we've been together a long time. And there's nothing I want to do that she won't let me do. Nothing she wants to do, I won't let her do. You know what I'm saying? We won't have to ask permission, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But still, to please her, I might say, hey, I'm going to do this tomorrow. Do this, okay? I know whether she approve it or not, per se, you know. Well, it's the same with God. How do I know my wife wants me to do tomorrow? Like I said, 45 years, 46, probably 47 years. Dating, I mean, yeah. I mean, we dated for a while, yeah. Can you imagine that? It shows you how smart I am, okay? She dated me 2 years and still married me. I married her. I'm the smarter one there, you know. We married each other, but anyway. But see, as we walk with the Lord, as He's the center of our life, we get to know what He wants and what He says He's going to do, and we know that He'll do exactly what He says. Okay? Then our heart's desire is we want to please them. As we want to please one another here. And this past week, yesterday we had a life celebration of a friend of ours, 101 years old. And she went home to be with the Lord. I mean, this lady was one of the first, I hope I say it right, first WACs in World War II. She signed up. In fact, that's how she met her husband. He's from Coshocton, and she's from New York, and she joined the military in World War II, and ended up
in Europe,
and come across a guy in Coshocton. Wow. I laughed. I said, he told about taking a prisoner of war, a poor guy. He made it through World War II. Came back. But, yeah. And then yesterday, after we finished the funeral, I got home last night and found out the lady I testified last week that I led to the Lord up in Dover, she went to see Jesus yesterday. And I thought, wow, Ethel, best I can figure, 35,212 days she walked with Jesus. That she knew Jesus. Mm. And that's about 97 days, give her 97 years, give her the chance to become born again, you know, at a younger age. And then our friend went 12 days, knew Jesus for 12 days. And it's the same blood that covered both of them that got them into heaven. And I'll never forget, and I always share it, and if I sound like a broken record, but when I pray for folks who want to know the Lord, and they're sincere, there's a presence of God that comes over them. And when I pray with her, her eyes light up, you know, and she received Christ. And she said, oh man, a ton of weight came off of me. I just feel so good. And then when her family came in, she was bragging. But man, I'm a child of God now. I'm born again. I mean, she was ready. She was ready to see Jesus. And Ethel, 101 years old, she was ready. She's been ready for 2 years to go see Jesus. So I'm not sure what he's waiting on, you know. But I thought, wow, that's cool. Both of them is going to meet each other in heaven at the same time. And one of them said, do you know that Starkey? He said, oh, no, let me tell you about him, okay? But it was a free gift. A free gift they received. As I explained to our friend last week, you know, he died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. We recognize we have sinned. And receive him as Savior, Lord. Receive him as a free gift. We've become a child of God. Neither one of them could work for their gift, could they? That gets the salvation. Ethel, all them years on earth, it was still a free gift. Now, she might have a lot of rewards in heaven because of outreach and ministry and stuff like that, where our friend won't have a whole lot of rewards, but she has the presence of God in her life. Amen? But it's a free gift. And that's where we're going to look at today. Take God's word at his word. And we said, receive. Freely I give. I receive, freely I give. And when you received him as Savior and Lord, there was nothing you did except accept that. So if you sin today, don't think you lost your reward. Don't think you lost your salvation. Amen? I understand that. Okay? Because you're still born again, you're still a child of God. Why do I say that? Because that's what the Word of God says. And we look at the Word of God, we want the Word of God to encourage us, don't we not? We want to. And we want to take his word at his word. Now, that same scenario, I just want to touch base on a couple of things before I step into the text today. But you take that same scenario I shared with you and say, listen, confess your sin. I don't need to know what your sin is. Just pray and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. You know what they are. And you confess it, and he says, turn away from your sins and follow me, right? Anybody ever pray that prayer before? Amen. Are you born again today? And that's awesome. That's fantastic. You can walk around with confidence. You can walk around strengthened. You can walk victorious because, you know, if you turn your back on sin, you follow in Jesus, and he's got you covered. Okay? That's awesome. You have that. Yes, confidence. But if you don't have that confidence, then what takes place, that we have on the outside, but on the inside we don't, because what he tells us in Galatians. You don't have to turn there. But think of all the sins or the sin he brought you out of. He said, now, okay. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we'll look up later on because I'm not going to pile there very long today. But he says, but if you continue to sin, if you continue to practice sin, we won't see the kingdom of God. See the difference in that? It's a free gift. Receive it. Turn away from your sins. Follow me. We're going to mess up. Yeah, we're going to mess up. Okay? But what does the word say? That, but if I decide that I want to embrace the sin, and I'm not going to give it up, and I'm going to live in sin, I might as well forget about my kingdom of heaven because I've chosen the things of this world and the devil to embrace. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Now, there's a difference, I shared before, between sinning and embracing sin.
Amen.
To practice sin, you're getting better at it. So you're doing the same sin over and over again, and you don't care, and you don't want to give it up. That's up to you, okay? But the Bible says you will not see the kingdom of God. Now, maybe you sin. And, oh, man, you get up from that sin, you go forward, you repent from it, and you sin again, but you don't want to. See the difference between the two? You're struggling. He said, resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. He didn't say shake hands with him, he didn't say lay down with him, he didn't say bite him to your house. Resist the devil. Draw closer to God. God will draw closer to you, and the devil will flee. That's his word, okay? So I know today that I get out there and I mess up. Oh man, I sin. He's got me covered. Because I don't want to. Okay? I don't want to. And it goes back to where he said, God, show me. You know, last week I messed up. I sinned last week. And you showed me what I did wrong. I don't want to do it this week. And I walk with him. I have that confidence in me. Okay? So you look at the Word of God today. Look at yourself today. Are you born again? Have you faith in Jesus? Or you have your faith in yourself? Otherwise, is it your good works that you're confident you're going to heaven for? Because you've done this and this? Or is it not doing the good works that you're down and out, that you're not going to go to heaven because you haven't done anything today? It's all free. If you receive Christ, you follow me on that, guys, it's a free gift. It's like my wife, she doesn't buy me a Christmas present and give me a bill to pay for it. No, she doesn't. No, and I might do that to her, but no, it's a free gift. I received that. You know? Oh, thank you, honey. And that's what God wants to lift us up today. Lift up the man. You're trusting in him. Don't trust in yourself, okay? You can't get yourself to heaven, okay? Believing in Christ and following him, that's the reward we have for putting him first. You know? It's simple. I mean, most people celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Resurrection Day. Most people believe that God created everything, that they're born in sin, that they've sinned, that Jesus came on this earth, and he died for our sins, and he rose up from the grave, overcame sickness and disease and death, because we live forever. But they never received that for themselves. Wow. And that lady I talked to last week, is in heaven yesterday. She believed all I'd done, all that, 65 years old, but never received it for herself. And man, she did. Then Ethel, I mean, this lady is so awesome. I know Vicki. Vicki here today. I know you remember Ethel. I'm not sure anybody else here, because it was on East Main. But the song they played yesterday to describe her life was two songs, really. First one was Frank Sinatra, I Done It My Way, okay? Strong-willed lady. And then Amazing Grace. Because the grace of God got a hold of her strong will, and he used her in mighty ways throughout his kingdom, you know. So it just, but all dependent upon him. So a couple of scriptures I want to share with you today. It won't be a really long service today, out by 3 or 4. But these are your covenant scriptures that God has with you, okay? And some, and if you're here, you're not following the Lord yet. You're thinking about it. That's cool. But this is God's word to us that we trust Him. And so, in these days that we're living in, I mean, we saw today the more of the floods going on out west. How much is it now? 13%. The grocery bill's going to go up and stuff like that. Gasoline, I mean, $4.28 a gallon. Okay. But like I said before, the same God that paid for the gasoline at $1 a gallon will do the same at $4. And so I just want to remind you the covenants that you have with God and what His Word says. That way you won't fear. You won't say, oh man, what am I going to do? Many of us here probably have retired. Maybe through the working process. You had a pension that you your company paid into. Some of you might have invested in a 401k that you paid into. Some of us invested in life insurance policies. It's supposed to be worth $1.2 million when you hit age 65. But you see, I'm still here. Yes. Okay. They always work out the way you think things are. But God finds a way for each one of us as we walk with Him in covenant. Okay? And so, the scriptures here are, His scripture shows us God's financial plan for our life. So you write these down. You can listen to me. Number one, do not get upset with me, okay? This has been out for a few months, and God said, today I want you to share that to take away any fear that people might have that I'll abandon them, okay? And if you're with them and doing this, it encourage you. If you're not, hey, listen, this is what God can do for you. Amen? But let's go to Malachi, okay? Most people throw Bibles up and say Malachi. Okay. Malachi chapter 3. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 8. I mean, this takes away the fear. When you listen to the news, or when you get the next report, you know, how many of us know that tough times are coming? How many know the tough times are already here? Amen. Amen. But are we still here? You made it in here today. Whether you walked because you got shoes or you drove in, you got here today. And we got the same God to be watching over us. Amen. And we know that we haven't seen anything yet compared to the scriptures. He forewarned us of the things that will be taking place. The scripture, we read Matthew 24 all the time. But here's the thing. He says in Malachi, and he's talking to his people, us, okay? He's talking to you and me. I hope you find confidence in this. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke that devourer for you, so it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grape, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now that's my God. That's my He talking to me in covenant. He said, listen, basically he said, hey, Stark, listen, everything you have is mine. I give it to you. I don't wish I had a wallet. I use my wallet. There's nothing in it. But. When I gave my life to Christ, He got everything. Okay? It's all your... come on. It was already His to start with, right? I just recognize it. You know, kind of like when we got married. My money was my wife's money. Her money was her money. I didn't recognize that until we got married, you know? But just like when I got married, boom. I got married. I got born again. This scripture, even before I got born again, my wife was a Christian. We tithe. Here's Starkey. This is mine. I tell you what, I want you to learn to trust me. Return back a tenth. A tithe is a tenth. One tenth, okay, of your increase. I'm going to pour in a blessing you cannot contain. I'm telling you what. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I want you to trust me in this. Test me, he says. Only time God ever says to test me. Isn't that funny? In a way, you know, I would trust Him with my soul for eternity. I would trust Him to keep my soul out of hell, of torment and stuff like that. But when He says, Starkey, I tithe a tenth. Wow. But because of that, folks, because of your tithe. And I don't know your record, so don't look at me and say, oh, no. But because of that, you're in covenant with God. He says, He will rebuke the devourer of the devil. Doesn't Jesus tell in John 10:10, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come to give you life and more abundantly, okay? So we open the scriptures up and say, oh, wow, I'm in covenant with God. Man, He'll meet my need, in fact, above and beyond my need. Rebuke the devourer, which is Satan for it. So man, no matter how ugly the world gets, and if 401ks or Bs or whatever, He's going to find a way to provide for me because of covenant. Is that God's word? Do we believe God's word? That's awesome. So whatever you want to do, God, that's up to you, okay? But then he says that, but if I don't, sorry, your curse was a curse. Well, man, I don't want that, God. You know? And he tells me this up front. He wants me to know. Your choice, Dory. Well, come on. There's not one person in here. I know for a fact that tithes can say that they never, that God hasn't taken care of them. I can't explain it. I can't explain it how he does it, how he finds favor. Okay? So listen, take away the fear of what you're hearing in the papers of your covenant of God. That's his promise to you. Think of that. Oh, my. Just trust in him. Trust in him. And then Matthew, the 23rd chapter. These aren't really long scriptures today, but just want to remind you. I mean, same thing I do with folks when they say, man, listen, I'm not going to make it, I'm going to die. How do I know I'm truly going to go to heaven? I just share the simple truth. You believe Christ is the Son of God? He died for your sins? Yes, yes. Because sometimes Satan gets a doubt in your head, right? Start thinking, oh man, you're right. He is my Savior, my Lord. And it picks you back up again. We all have to be reminded once in a while. And fear can come in. Fear can attack us. Amen? He doesn't want us to live in fear, but man, when something goes wrong, okay, God. You know, I've had stuff break down before. Okay, God, you say, meet all my needs. And sometimes he's given me wisdom on how to fix stuff. And yeah, not very often, son, I know that. I testified Friday, I'll do it again. Poor Rick Merrill, he called me on a mechanical issue this week. Yeah, thank God for Chuck Maurer back there. Yep, but God gave me wisdom not to work on it and bring it to Chuck, you know what I'm saying? But he has a way of doing it and just providing for us, you know. In covenant, I mean, I have never bought a vehicle. 22 years, yeah. I'm wanted in 5 states, but I've never bought one, you know. No, and now we're getting ready for a vehicle, you know. Yesterday at the funeral, my wife, she was on singing. And so here we go to the funeral. They always put the pastor behind the hearse, okay, that pulls out and stuff. I pull in, this fella down at Freeze. And I pull in. We had the truck. The car still isn't running right. And just recently, I took the cap off of it, and I got bungee cord holding the fender on. I mean, that's popping like this. When we close the
tailgate.
Thank you, tailgate. We got to push the fenders in to keep it up, okay? So I pull in, and the funeral director there, and I said, yes. I said, well, I said, I'm the pastor. I'll be doing the service. Oh, okay. I said, I'm afraid my fender's going to fall off. Would you put me in behind of everybody else, and as soon as we get down to the South Lawn, I'll come up and do my thing. He goes, hey, listen, buddy. He says, I'm from West Virginia, and that looks like pretty good to me. No, so he put me right in front, and we're going down behind the hearse like this, you know. I thought, well, Lord, be a good time for a rapture, you know what I'm saying? So we're at the point right now, like, okay, God, what do you want us to do? You know, is keep flapping the breeze, or you got something else coming our way? So I won't say I'm in negotiation with God, but I'm seeking His wisdom. If anyone in here has checked out new trucks, I mean, it's cost more than my house. I mean, some of $90,000. So, man, I can't afford that. If somebody here can afford, like Chuck, you want to buy a new truck? That'd be awesome. I can borrow it all the time. You're my neighbor down there. Amen. But what's that? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Good. Well, Matthew 23, in verse 23, Jesus is speaking. He says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin. That's what they used to trade back then. That was like their money. And have neglected the weightier provision of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. So what Jesus is saying here, yes, the tithe is still in effect. Some people say, well, the tithe is in the old covenant and in the old law. But tithing started way before the law even came out. Okay? But he said, yeah, tithing is important, but just as important, I'll put it this way, love one another. Think of that. Last thing he wants you to do is bring money in here. Oh, I gotta bring my tenth in there and tithe and throw it in there. No, keep it. Amen? Because it's important, but man, being justice and treating one another and loving him, that all comes together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he wants us to trust in him and not to be resentful, you know. Like, now, it's one thing, like, say, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've had several folks in the church before now. They didn't tell me until after they started, but they come and confess to me, which didn't have to be. Hey, I don't tell you, preacher. You chose what tithing before. And I never tithe. Well, I ain't giving that preacher no money. Well, you're not giving to me, you're giving it to the Lord. I don't. But they finally tried it. Could not believe what God does. Amen. It might not come back in affording money. It can come back in a favor over here or favor over there, you know. But again, I'm just telling you what the Lord says. You take it from there, okay? But Jesus said, man, don't do it out of resentfulness. He wants us to be excited. Oh, God, this is part of your financial thing. Oh, man. And you do it, and you just watch what God does. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it is. He said, bring the tithe to the warehouse. It would be food. What he's saying there is that this would be the warehouse, and the food is the Word of God. The door stays open, and the Word goes out and feeds people. Amen? And plus, it's funny at the same time, because you heard the bell ring earlier during praise and worship. Now the church brought chicken into us and stuff. I thought, man, he's going to feed us both ways today. So that's why it took me a while to get up here. But that was Matthew 23, verse 23 and 24. Now, Luke 6:38, another part of God's promise he has to each one of us. In Luke 6:38, he says, give, it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. You know, and that's another covenant thing you have with God. As you give, I mean, have you ever had more abundance time than others? You know, you probably had hay field give more hay one year and not, or corn. Yeah, same. So as we give to God, he says, I'm going to give back to you the same measure that you use. So if I gave a cup of flour to Ned, just harvests his corn to make, he's gonna make shortcakes tonight. So I gave you a cup of flour, Ned, and Ned's got it. He's gonna bake tonight, or Bonnie's gonna bake for him, one or two. But the time comes, then, man, I need some flour. I need flour. Why? Because Penny's gonna bake me a pie. You use flour and pie, do you? I don't know if you do or not. Okay. Well, next thing I know, here comes Ned. He takes that same cup I gave him, the flour. But what does he do different? He fills it, presses it down, and fills it up again. You ever see how fluffy flour is? I mean, you could really, I mean, if probably if you want to sell it, I would blow air into it, because it'd get a lot fuller, but not as much in it. But as I give to the Lord, he says, the same measure, he'll give back to me, but press down. Otherwise, it would be more for. Okay? So when I get into a financial situation, God, I'm not sure I need this here, but God, I know your word is true. And I give you, give back to me. Oh, my. So, okay, God, what avenue? That's why I don't think you ever see me say, no, don't give me money. Okay? Now, I don't mean as a pastor. I mean, we don't take money. But I'm saying, if you come up to me, man, Pastor, God has laid on my heart to give you $300. Oh, man, well, thank you. Okay? I might not need it right then. Or I might need it. But I receive that because just possibility, God's going to use me as an in-between man to give it to Jim or whoever, who knows. Okay? But I say, well, I don't need that $300 right now, buddy. I learned a long time ago, you receive it because either for yourself or for somebody else. If I'm not sure what we're going to do with it yet, we sit on it until we say, okay, God, what's coming our way? Because we know you always meet our needs, you know. And it'll lead us on that part of it. So I've learned to do that. And for a lot of men, I'm not saying you ladies are greedy, but a lot of times, no, I'm not. But a lot of times for us men, we refuse, don't we? We have this stubbornness in our head that if we receive something, that we're not man.
Yeah.
You get a witness? Amen? I mean, sometimes we do. We think, oh, no. I told you the story. The guy brought us out a turkey at our house. Thanksgiving time. I was embarrassed. I don't think I can buy a turkey for my wife. I couldn't, but he thought I could. And then he prayed with me before he left. In front of my windows on Main Street in Plainfield. How embarrassed I was. But God provided. That gave me money for gas. Okay? But as you give, He gives back to you. We don't give to receive, understand that. But we give, and He says, okay, I'm going to give back to you. So that's the promise that you have. So no matter how lean the things are getting, say, Lord, I know you're out there. I follow you, Lord. We're in covenant together. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I know you're going to meet my needs. Just show me. And then a lot of times it's just being patient. Boy, you love that word, patient. Until He speaks to you. I mean, part of me would run down here and sign away my son's inheritance by buying a brand new vehicle for about $40,000, you know. But I don't want him to pay for it the next 40 years, you know. What kind would you want, son? Now, 2 Corinthians 9:6, from 9:6 to verse 12. And this is another awesome thing, guys, because we control this part of it also. It says in verse 6, Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now I'm going to pause there for a second. A cheerful giver. That's why we might be a little bit different in some churches, not all, but we have the offering container up here. Because before you come in the church, you should already have in your heart what you're going to give to the Lord and be cheerful about it. You know? And folks, some of us, you know, I get paid once a month. Okay? So my money goes in the first month. Why? Because I won't have it in the month. I learned that, okay? But cheerful, oh God, I got to give you to... Boom. We don't. It's not about shaking people down. Amen? It's a heart. And sometimes we don't have nothing to give. Okay? They're not working. Nothing to give. And I've seen before other places he passed around and felt sorry to people because they didn't want to be embarrassed or act like they're putting stuff in. And, you know, I've even said before, years ago, they used to take an offering up here. I said, hey, listen, if you got a, what do you call them, thing, a little thread, throw it in there. Got to make pants out of it, you know. But just in your own heart. You know, I tell people, hey, you come and visit us today, listen, your tithe belongs in your church. It belongs where you're being fed at. Don't let Satan get on you. People think, boy, you got to give. No, it's a cheerful heart. God, I get to give to you today, you know? So it's uplifting. That's what he wants us to be. Not under compulsion. Well, I better walk up there and put something in there, you know? Now, you know, I walked up one time and collected it and looked at it with the notes. I didn't give nothing, but I didn't want to look bad in church. So. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. But again, to be cheerful, to trust in His Word that you can do this. It says, He scattered abroad and He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, that's us, okay, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Think of that. Man, he supplies the seed to us, the sower. Now we can decide what to do. Years ago, I only talked on this once, probably 10 years, probably, but God gave me the awesome illustration of popcorn. And I know popcorn. Food, I'm always on my food, okay? But I had a cup of popcorn. Now, I had a choice right there. I could pop that and peek out tonight watching football and be done with, or I can just take a few, take about a tenth of that popcorn, that cup, and go out and plant it, sow it in the ground. It'll take time, but that popcorn will grow up. Boom, get one or maybe two ears on a stalk. I'm going to like quadruple my popcorn. Then what do? I harvest it, take some more, plant it, and see how it keeps going and going and going, you know? It'd be like if my property right beside Ned's there, and I won't say where you're at because Chuck runs out of cattle, I'm coming out to yours, okay? But we both could plow up the same field. We both got the same field, 5 acres, 5 acres. Mine looks nice. The difference is Ned goes out and he plants corn. I don't plant corn. I got a nice field. Harvest time comes. Man, look at Ned. He's got 45 bushels of corn left over. I ain't got enough. I ain't right. You shouldn't do that. You rich people, I'm telling you what. Okay? Yeah. Show me a farmer that's rich, okay? But the point of it is, when he plants his corn, he trusts that seed will do exactly what it's going to do. It's going to grow. But he has to plant it first. And you might be, I'm not sure I'm going to be a farmer or not. And you plant the first harvest and it comes in. And all that money comes to you guys for farming. Oh, my. That's sarcasm, okay? But it's taking that first time and trusting him. You know, that's the difference between those who can help and those who cannot. It, a lot of times it comes down to trusting. But look, trust God. Trust God what you're doing. That what you're doing, you just go unnoticed to him. Understand that. He's got your back, okay? And so no matter how bad things get, how awful it looks out there, God is in covenant with us. Amen? And I think I got one more yet, I think. Oh, there we go. Well, Philippians 4, 15 and 20. It's the last one. But I figured you had an amen on that somewhere. Okay. And this is quoted a lot, and it's an awesome scripture. It says in Philippians 4, verse 15, Paul speaking, Brother Paul, and he says, you yourself, not Paul up in front row, but the Apostle Paul, okay. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Paul said, man, listen, no one else would help spread the gospel, but you guys did. You even tracked me down and sent a gift to give to me. In fact, now that I seek, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Yes, he says, now, you know, I can get by without money. I mean, I can eat rats and stuff, okay? But as you give to the ministry, Paul's saying, I seek the increase that you get. Because you're sowing to God's word, God's going to give back to you. Then he says, but I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from, thank you, Epaphroditus, what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, this is the key part. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But he's saying, man, this church, these people gave for the gospel. They gave sacrificially. You take Paul here, listen. I got one coat for the wintertime here. You take this here. And because he did this, he said this. My God will supply all your needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we'll quote that, hey, God will supply all my needs, the riches and glory in Christ Jesus, but we're not in covenant with him. Amen? I'm not saying that your name isn't written down in the book of life, okay? I'm not saying that. You can't buy your way into heaven, okay? But this is us, our life that we gave to Christ. This is what he says he wants us to do with it. And this is the blessings we get with it. So we declare, listen, God supply all my needs, the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hey, your brother, oh man, I love this. Africa. Peter. Brother Peter, you know. He needs this over there. His kids are really in trouble. So we give. Knowing that it's going to bless them. It's going to further the gospel. And that God's got my back. He even tells me when we give to the poor, it's like lending to him. He'll pay us back. And we're giving means feeding or whatever it might be. He says, there's no way around it. And think of this. There's somebody you think of right now that's richer than you are. But there's also somebody that's poorer than you are, right? So we both can have that receive and type deal, you know. And when we do that, it just blesses the Lord. But again, these scriptures, the Lord laid in my heart to share with you today, is to encourage you. Say, listen, what you've done isn't in vain. God doesn't have his eyes off of you. Okay? Yeah, things are going to get kind of lean, but he's going to supply our needs. And the last one, I think, is in Matthew 6. I'll just quote it at the very end of it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the things that we need will be added to us. And we need shelter, we need clothing, we need food. Okay? Now, what area of the food chain will be on, I don't know. Okay? It could be hot dog, it could be steak. But he said, I'll meet your needs. Could we go back to, yes, we love our life here. We love each other. We love the beautiful day we have. But our hearts are really set on the kingdom of God and being with him for eternity. But he's with us right now. He's never going to leave us. We have eternity in our spirit. Okay? So, Lord, thank you for what you give me today. Do you want me? How can I share what you've given me? You might say, oh, hey, Charlie, just keep it. It's free this time. Really, Lord? Yes. So you keep it, not knowing what you're going to need tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Or what might come along. And sometimes he just blesses you. I mean, our kids got allowances growing up, so then I give them a little extra. Okay? Didn't I?
You spent it, yeah.
And so God will bless us tremendously, but he blesses for us as his children, but also he'll bless us to be a blessing. And what we do, we just seek him. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with the surplus today? And he'll lead you on that, you know. He'll lead you on that. So be encouraged. No matter how ugly it gets out there, we're in covenant of God. He's got our back. He'll supply our needs. As we give him our voices, our hands, his feet, we trust in him. He says to do it, just do it. He says don't do it, just don't do it. Amen. Amen. I wish I would listen to that more growing up. My parents would tell me don't do something. But I learned. I learned in time, and you know. And they told me plenty of time. And God might be working with you on the same thing today he did for the last 5 years, but you know what? He's still working on you. He hasn't gave up on you. Just run it all to him and let him lead you. Amen? Amen. Praise God.